Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Howdy, friends, and welcome to the most amazing GC Podcast episode ever.
You already know it.
Well, at least since the last month's episode. You're hanging out for a moment with your podcast bros, Anthony and Joe. And we're entering the month of February, which means Valentine's Day is just around the corner. And Joe, I know that you are going to do something special this year for Megan. And you guys are going to have creative ideas that you can share for the rest of us who wait to the last minute. Joe, what are you and Megan going to be doing?
Oh, you were being serious. Bro, we've got three children. There is no creativity to share. I'm sorry. But, you know, I mean, we always try to do something on Valentine's Day or around Valentine's Day. But one of the things that's really special that we really try to do, we try to do something for our kids on Valentine's Day to show them that we're thinking about them, that we love them. But to be quite honest with you, as parents, we want to create a high expectation for our kids' future significant others. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's I like your style and the way you're going about it. I know what you mean. Well, in this month's episode, Joe, we're going to interview Heber Tikus. And for those of you who know Heber, you've heard him teach on missional rhythms in a church, and you know he's a really big proponent of connect group ministry, or our way of labeling small groups. And Joe, from your perspective, why is GCI making a concerted effort to emphasize connect groups?
You know, if you look back in our history as a denomination, we were actually really good at gathering beyond the weekend service. But over the last couple of decades, we've lost sight of that. And relationships can't survive that way. The church can't survive just getting together on Sunday services. You know, I actually heard somewhere that if the church is the body of the Christ, then small groups, or as we call them, connect groups, would be considered the lifeblood of the body. Think about it, Anthony. You're a married man to a wonderful woman. If you and Elizabeth only got together a couple of hours a week, how would your marriage do?
we would sure be struggling. And that's a good point, Joe, because it seems the connect group is the relational space. And I keep hearing you say the word relational, where you can actually be eye to eye, shoulder to shoulder with people and talk about life and maybe take it to a level of depth that you just cannot get to on a Sunday morning. And that's the power of that. And so from your perspective, Joe, you're a pastor, and so you're living this stuff out and leading it with your Avenue teams in your local church. What do you consider the role of the group facilitator to be in a connect group, and why is it so important?
Oh, man, the role of a group facilitator is so vital. You know, personally, you don't need to be a theologian to facilitate a group, but a facilitator can make or break the group. And for me, as a pastor, I would much rather see a facilitator be good at creating an environment for people to grow deeper in relationships, to be mindful of the needs in the group, and love people well. You know, being able to memorize and have scriptural knowledge, or whether they can answer the questions about the Trinity and incarnation, that's lower on my priority for a facilitator. I want them to go deeper in relationship and help people get connected deeper.
Well, by the very word facilitator, it's a facilitation of conversation among friends. So we're not looking for a facilitator to preach a sermon or to give a Bible study, to be the talking head, but actually to facilitate so that we can hear how the Spirit is at work in others' lives in this conversation together as friends. Well, Joe, you're always bringing us pastoral nuggets of wisdom from your experience. We're so proud of you, brother. You are a blessing. Now let's listen to my interview with Heber Tikus. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I have the joy and privilege of interviewing Heber Tikus. Heber is a church planter and pastor, while also serving as the GCI Superintendent of Latin American Churches. Heber, thank you for joining the pod today. And the focus of our time together is going to be small group ministry, or as we have started calling it, connect groups here in GCI, and how a vibrant, healthy connect group supports the overall healthy church vision. So let's start there. In your estimation, in your opinion, what is the role of the Faith Avenue in bringing healthy rhythms to the church?
Well, first and foremost, hello, Anthony. How are you?
Man, I'm well. I'm glad that you're joining us today. How are you, brother?
I am good, brother. Your voice sounds quite strong. Huh? You're coming across really strong. Good for you.
I'll back up if you need me to, man. I get excited talking about this stuff.
And you're all good. You're all good. Hey, I get excited about talking ministry as well. So, yeah, this is a good conversation. Well, you're asking me about the role of the Faith Avenue in terms of the rhythms in the church. I think first and foremost, the Faith Avenue champion or facilitators, what the Faith Avenue to me does is it creates spaces where disciple making can take place. That's what I see as the key piece in the Faith Avenue. Now, there are other elements as well that we can talk about besides just creating a space, whether it be through a small group or even other spaces that can be created for an environment of disciple making. When we talk about the rhythms or healthy rhythms in the church, we're talking about coordinating the delicate balance between a facilitator and a host, making sure that the Faith Avenue is aligned with other avenues as well. And for me as a pastor, I want to make sure that I'm working well with my Faith Avenue leaders and that leader, he or she, is comfortable as well with working with me and that leader apprehends a pastoral role within that avenue as well.
Based on what you said, it seems that the word that jumped out to me was disciple or disciple making. And if we were to kind of boil down to what the Faith Avenue really is, would you say it is the disciple making aspect of the life of the church? Is that fair?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah, it's about making disciples. It's that avenue that it's aligned with the other avenues as well. So if you have a robust love avenue where you're engaging non-believers, you're engaging people in general, and they come into community or part of being the expression of being the church, well, you want to make sure that there are spaces available where people are growing in community and relationship and in faith.
So let's talk about those spaces. That's good. I know you've been a big proponent of small group, connect group ministry. And there's probably some pastors and churches out there, they're like, yeah, we've done that before. But why do you believe that a pastor and a Faith Avenue champion should prioritize connect groups in the life of their context in their church?
Well, I believe, Anthony, that a connect group is the best space for disciple making. So if Jesus is a great commission to the church is to go and make disciples, disciple making, I believe, takes place best in an environment where relationships are being forged, where community is happening. I think that a connect group is that best space. Now, I can tell you one thing, I've been in pastoral ministry now for 20, 21 years or so. And Anthony, I know you're a good preacher, but I've heard you. And I consider that I can bring a good word on Sunday morning. But as good as you are, or as good as anyone can be, Sunday morning is not a sufficient space for disciple making. So a connect group affords a congregation, a pastor, a ministry, that other space where you can forge those relationships.
So I'm hearing you say the sermon isn't enough. Sunday morning isn't enough, and the church has to go beyond the Sunday service and gathering. And that small group space is the ideal place for making disciples. And I'm guessing, and maybe you can speak more to this, it is kind of the intimacy of that smaller group environment. Is that really the key? Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, you think about it, in the expression of being the church in Sunday morning, it's a corporate expression, right? It becomes a celebratory environment. Relationships are present, but there isn't a space to go deeper. I mean, you can create those spaces Sunday morning, but it becomes a little bit more difficult. I mean, I love it on Sunday when I'm seeing folks, around our church building, huddling and praying with each other. Man, that brings joy to me as a pastor, but I know quite well that Sunday is not the prime space for deeper conversation, for deeper exploration of faith, for deeper relationship, for that journeying of faith. Man, it happens best when you're closer in community and in relationship. And that's what happens in a small group. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go ahead and treat me like I'm a pastor who's, all right, I'm hearing about these connect groups. I hear that this is the best way to make disciples. If I'm launching something new, what do I need to have? What should be the priorities for the Faith Avenue champion and the facilitator in terms of launching a new connect group?
Well, I mean, I'll take a step back in that question, Anthony, in the sense that you first have got to consider, do we already have an established connect group ministry? Do we already have a robust Faith Avenue ministry? If we do, it becomes a lot easier because we fit into those rhythms. If we don't, then, it's a little bit more heavy lifting. But there are some things that I would consider when we're about to launch something new, more in particular, a connect group. In relation to a connect group, I would first, try to balance the facilitator and the host. That's a delicate balance. Where are we having the connect group? Who's going to be hosting it? Who's going to be the facilitator? So that's a balancing act in and of itself. Then I would also consider, having a clear description of roles for the facilitator, for the host, the time frame that the connect group is going to take place, and the kind of commitment that is needed from the host, from the facilitator, and I would even venture to say from a couple of other participants in that group to make that group go.
It's interesting to hear you talk about the uniqueness of the host and the facilitator, because I think in a lot of contexts, we see them as one and the same. Like, okay, whoever the facilitator is has to host the gathering, but that's not so. Why do you have a distinguished role for a host and a facilitator? Can you tell us a little bit more on how they collaborate?
Yeah, I mean, we're all gifted differently. Not all people are willing to host a lot of people in their homes. Not all people have the space to host people in their home. The gift of hospitality, unfortunately, is not for everyone. And also the gift of speaking is not for everyone. So I would say that the host is that one person that they're lending their home. And I usually would like to look in the host as for someone that can also has a good relationship around their neighborhood, that they know people around the neighborhood, and they're willing to invite people in. And with the facilitator, I want to make sure that they can bring, whether it be a Bible study or a spiritual discussion, like I like to call it at times, that they feel comfortable in that environment. And I could say a lot about the facilitators, because I believe that the facilitators play somewhat of a pastoral role in a small group. So, I mean, we can go a lot deeper in that one.
Yeah, let's go there. Let's scratch that itch, because we are talking about multiplication. Anytime we're starting a new connect group, we are multiplying something, a ministry, hopefully leaders, and hopefully more small groups later on down the line. So talk about that key role of facilitator. Why do you see it as a pastoral role?
Well, taking a couple of steps back here. So, we're about to launch a connect group per se. We're talking about that balance between the host and the facilitator. There's a clear description of roles, who's the facilitator, the leader, and what his or her role may be, and what the role of the host may be, and even others within that group. There's a clear description of what's going on, and there's a clear commitment to the group as well, from both facilitator and from the host. We talked about what kind of discussions we're going to have, if there's some kind of curriculum or if we're going through a book of the Bible. And then, you know, we also have got to talk about this element that you just mentioned, multiplication. So every group should have that multiplication element present, you know, and then you have to talk about when and how. How do you multiply the group? When do you multiply the group? And when we talk about the facilitator being in that role of a pastor, I think that one of the key elements or key roles of a pastor is really to develop others. So that facilitator has got to have that in mind, that it's always about developing other leaders, not holding on to that group for a long, long time, but always looking to hand that group off to someone else or to multiply that group. That's one element, that element of a facilitator being a developer of others as well. So, I mean, so you're looking for key giftings in that facilitator. But then, you know, I mentioned that a connect group affords the opportunity forge deeper relationships. So when that happens, when someone who's participating in a connect group and man, you know, there's that opportunity now to go deeper in faith, and there are questions and there are life issues, because life happens on a daily basis, and they look towards that facilitator to be someone who's going to journey with people. And not that you just do it individually, you do it as a group. But that pastoral element needs to be present there, that wisdom of how to point people to Jesus and how to walk with them. Those elements are key for a facilitator.
In a moment, I want to go a little bit deeper on this pastoral side of things. But first, let's talk about multiplication for a moment. So say I'm a pastor. I've tried small group ministry in the past. It didn't go as well as we hoped it would. We stopped them. And so now we're considering maybe a relaunch of sorts. And you're telling me I need to be thinking of multiplication at the start when I don't know if I've got one small group yet. Like, talk to that pastor that's going, I don't know. Why do we start thinking about multiplication? What is the power and the method behind that?
Well, I mean, I believe that we've been called to multiply at all levels. I mean, we're multiplying disciples, we're multiplying leaders, we're multiplying ministries. And as you mentioned at the start of the podcast, I am passionate about multiplying churches. So multiplication happens at all levels. So when we start with the basis of multiplication and within the body, and then we connect that to the groups and smaller groups, and your love avenue, it's functioning and it's working well, that means that you got to have multiple spaces to develop and disciple people. So that's why multiplication is truly key in a congregation. So if there's a pastor that's thinking, well, I'm in a relaunch here, how do I multiply if I don't even have one group? You know, I think it really starts with the pastor. I've been asked this question before. It's like, well, we don't have small groups in our church. How do we get it going? Well, you, Mr. Pastor, you need to recruit someone. You need to recruit someone to do a small group alongside with you. You need to model that. You need to multiply yourself with others, and then it starts taking off.
Yeah, I think where this gets real is when it gets personal, Heber. You're a pastor. You have a pastor's heart. I know you're not talking about these initiatives because you've read it in a book somewhere. You've experienced the power of the life of connect groups in the ministry and life of the church. So why don't you get personal with us and just share from your perspective and context how you have seen connect groups really pastorally support the church, the mission of the church, and the people of the church.
Well, you're talking about getting real, huh?
Yeah, let's get real.
Well, you know, I just talked about multiplication, right? I want to be real. Multiplication, Anthony, is not easy. That's one of the things that I struggle with the most. You know, multiplying facilitators, small group leaders, man, that is not easy. I mean, life is happening all around us. I mean, we're talking about having a connect group on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night. You know, people are doing life, they're doing work, they're doing family, they're doing all these things. That's why it's so key for a pastor to model that. I've had the privilege and the blessing to work alongside some really good people, but even even with that in mind, you know, just kind of multiplying myself or my DNA into others where they can look at multiplication as key, man, that in and of itself, it's difficult. We're going to be real about this. It's difficult. It's not easy. But I can tell you this, but it is his church and God is at work and the Spirit is at work. So yes, I have seen God, you know, move through our connect groups and be a vital piece of what we do as a church. So I've had some really good experience with it. I can point, let me point out to two different scenarios that I've seen that come to mind. One is a small group that I was not even part of. So there's a beautiful family in our church. They're still part of our church. His name is Jeronimo. Can you say that, Anthony? Jeronimo?
Could you keep going, please? I struggle with English, let alone.
Come on, brother. You got to step it up now. We're going to be doing the podcast. You got to step it up.
Hey, listen, I'm asking the questions here.
Hey, next time we do this, we're going to do it in Spanish. How about that?
Oh, I'm game. Let's try.
Hey, no, listen, Jeronimo, he's a good brother, man. I met this brother. He brought his son to one of our club. We run a club for kids, and that's how he got connected to our church. A little boy from church invited his friend from school to the club. So Jeronimo, you know, he comes to our church, and he kind of likes the expressions of church for him. And you know, one thing that we try to do as we see new people come into the church is we try to connect them to one of our connect groups, because we understand and we know that that's where it's going to go deeper, right? So he gets connected to a group that is closer to his home. I don't lead that group. My wife didn't lead that group. Another brother did. And he's part of that group for about a year. So it's been like a year and a half that he's been part of our church. And man, he gets struck with leukemia, with cancer. And I remember going to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center to visit this brother. And I said, Jeronimo, you know what, man, you must be missing church. You must be missing, you know, all the things that we do in our congregation. And it's like, Pastor, I really, really, really do. You know, and we had just had communion together there at the church. And I said, Jeronimo, you really miss it, huh? And he's like, yeah, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. And he was like a little bit nervous of telling me what he was about to tell me. And he said, you know what, I do miss Sunday, but I miss my connect group. Yeah. I miss them. And I got it, man. And to me, that was like, hooray, this is what I want to hear, because I know this is where it happens. And even before I had gone to see him at the hospital, guess what? I mean, the people from his connect group had already been through there, because the relationship had been forged.
Yeah.
And that's what tends to happen. It's such a support, you know, where I don't have, as a pastor, I don't have to be the one who's always doing ministry, because ministry is done by all, and the Spirit will use everyone in the church to be part of ministry. So that's one story, man. And, you know, I got a call. Let me tell you this story really quickly, and stop me if you have to, because I can go on and on, as you know, Anthony. But my wife was leading a small group on Thursday nights. And whenever I was in town, you know, we travel a lot for ministry, but whenever I was in town on Thursday nights, I would always go to the group with her. And this group was held at Herson's and Alba's house. You know, we've been going to that group for maybe 8 months or so, or a year. And now we don't do our groups consistently. We break them up throughout the year. We do them for 3 months, and then we rest a couple of months and so on. But, you know, we got to know Herson really, really well, you know, throughout the years. And one of the things that we found out about Herson was that Herson had a drinking problem. Man, and as a group, we journeyed with Herson we're talking about 3-4 years now. And I got a call about three, four weeks ago. Herson was on his way to the hospital with his wife. And he's like, Pastor, I've had it. I can't do this anymore. I am ready to do this now. you know, he had been drinking, you know, too much. So this is one of the most difficult things that a pastor, you know, gets involved with. And not just the pastor, but even the whole group, man. We're all pulling for Hurston, and we're journeying with him. And the journey has been long. And I'm consistently thinking, I cannot fix Hurston. I need to continue to point him to Jesus and continue to do that. And we're texting back and forth. And one of the things, you know, he's always told me, it's like he said, one day you told me that I can always count on you, that I can always call you, that you're never going to isolate me. And I'm like, Hurston, that is so true. And brother, you know, I can be tired. I can get tired of journeying with someone, but we know that the Lord never gets tired.
Yes.
But small group in a connect group is not just one person. So there's a few of us that are journeying with Hurston.
Yeah, that's powerful. And it's real. It's authentic. You're able to accomplish in a connect group environment what is really difficult on a Sunday morning when in the formal setting, there's so much to be done and you're really having just kind of surface level conversations that you can plunge the depths of life together. I mean, that is the power of what I hear you saying. And I really appreciate you sharing that, because I think that those kinds of stories, and we're joining you in prayer for Hurston, that those kinds of stories, that's where the rubber meets the road for us as pastors and ministry leaders. And we keep talking about our model being team-based and pastor-led. What I'm hearing from you is, whether we recognize it or not, connect groups really emphasize the team-based nature, that it doesn't all have to funnel to you as the pastor, that we are a priesthood of all believers ministering to one another by the power and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's beautiful. And so I want to ask you this, Heber. You talked earlier about how the avenues work together. There's a symbiotic relationship between faith, hope, and love. For instance, if the church has a healthy love avenue and we're engaging our neighbors, there are going to be opportunities to invite them in. Sometimes that looks like inviting them in to the Sunday gathering, the Hope Avenue. But sometimes it looks like maybe even inviting them first into the Faith Avenue in these connect groups. Let me ask you this. In your context, when somebody new comes to your church and you want to get them into this relational space, can you just tell us practically what that looks like, what steps you take?
That symbiotic relationship, Anthony, that you've talked about, it's so real. I mean, we just need to have clarity as pastors and leaders. We need to have clarity to be able to see it. See, like in a connect group, someone who's new to our church can either connect to our congregation through the Sunday service, which is what tends to happen the most through our rhythms, but it can also occur through a connect group. So if someone comes to our congregation through a connect group, most likely those relationships are already happening, and they're just being introduced to the corporate body, to the larger body, which I think it's really good. Now, I've been part of connect groups where folks have not come to the Sunday expression, you know, for months and months and months, and they would just rather stay within that connect group, that smaller environment, which I think it's good, but at the same time, I believe that is key to create a bridge back to the Sunday expression. So this is what it would look like for us. So if we have a robust love avenue, and let's say you're engaging your neighbor, you're engaging your community, and all of a sudden you have people coming to your Sunday expression, to your Sunday service, and so you have someone come for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. If you have someone come to church for at least three times, I mean, there's something there,
yeah.
Right? You have got to start, you know, connecting a bit further with that family or that individual person. So what we would do is, you know, we would consistently ask new faces in our church, are you already connected with one of our connect groups? Would you like to get connected to one of our connect groups? So the symbiotic relationship between the love avenue and the faith avenue and the hope avenue, because if a healthy, robust love avenue is happening, and you have a healthy hope avenue, most likely someone in the hope avenue has already been connecting with those persons that have been coming to the church, right? So that person needs to connect them to a connect group or a facilitator leader or to the Faith Avenue champion that can connect them to a group. So those things, you know, work in unison. They work together. And that's why alignment needs to occur. It needs to happen.
Yeah, that's a good response. And I'm guessing, again, we're talking about discipleship, which is what the Faith Avenue is. And connect groups are primary to that. But I'm wondering if there are other outlets as well in your congregation, Heber, other than connect groups. Is there any other ways besides the Sunday expression that people can be discipled, such as new member classes or some sort of discipleship group? Could you talk to that?
Yeah, you know, don't underestimate the one-on-one, the mentoring elements. Don't underestimate other rhythms that can get, you know, can be part of the church. For example, women's ministry. You don't have to have a traditional women's, men's, youth ministry, but you can be creative with them. I'll give you an example. My wife, she runs a women's ministry of church, and she divided the ministry. She subdivided the ministry for those who are younger women with children from the ages of 25 to 35, and those middle-aged women from, you know, 40, 45 to like 55, 60, and then some of the older women in the congregation. So, you know, at the same time, multiplying leaders, right? So she named a leader for that age group, for each one of the age groups. So that becomes a space as well. So they don't have to meet as a small group, but guess what? You know, they can have a day out someplace, for instance, or they could do things amongst themselves, their birthday parties or what have you. The key is relationships. They can be praying for one another. The key is really relationships. I have a discipleship sort of class that I do. I tend to do that like once a year. And that just goes deeper on what the faith is. Like we could use, we would use for that the We Believe material. Okay. So I don't do that all the time, but whenever I have folks that are interested in doing that, we can do that. I'll give you another example of creating a different space. So like as part of our church rhythms, for February, like the Sunday before Valentine's weekend or Valentine's Day, we would have a bring a friend to church day. And then even before that or during that time, we would have something for couples. We will have like a dinner for couples or like a seminar for couples. And like every other year, sometimes they do it on a yearly basis, sometimes they skip a year, but then I would have a marriage enrichment class per se that I would run that for 3 months, okay? And we can open that to the community as well. I'll put up a big banner outside our church. You know, we can have folks come in and be invited into that as well. So that becomes another space. The times that you go to the beach, summer times that you do different things for the church, like a picnic day or a beach day. We do a weekend that we camp. All those spaces, you're also forging relationships.
Yeah, that's so good, because what I hear you saying, it's not a one size fit all, and it needs to be contextualized. Sometimes there's going to be affinity groups, there are going to be camping trips, but think intentionally about them, how it all works together and flows together to grow people up into Christ. And what I continually hear from you is the intentionality behind that. That we have to have these conversations as pastors with our Faith Avenue champions and teams. And one of the ways we can think contextually, let's think big picture GCI. You know our history, Heber. We like to do Bible studies, and studying the Bible, studying Scripture together is a really good thing. But oftentimes our churches think of that as the connect group or the small group. Can you help us differentiate the difference between a Bible study and a connect group? And the effectiveness of both.
That's a really good question, and I think it's an important one. Look, Bible studies are good. They're needed. They're necessary. Getting deeper into the written word is a really good thing. But I think that is also key to really understand that a Bible study doesn't have to always be traditional. That's why I like the phrase spiritual discussion. I think that we should always have a spiritual discussion in all of our groups. Now, you know, age groups could be different as well, but it doesn't always look the same. I mean, if I think of a Bible study group, well, we're thinking in a circle where everyone's got their Bible. You might be going through a book of the Bible. You may be going through a particular curriculum, however that may seem. Okay, and that's good. That's good, and that's needed sometimes. And you can have a connect group that is a Bible study group, but then you also have to have other spaces that look a little bit different. You know, like for example, all these kinds of spaces. I like this word space, right? So let me give you, I don't know if you heard about what happened in our church here with COVID. You know, we had a husband and wife that passed away in the early stages of COVID. It was all COVID related. I remember this man, his name is Juan Carlos. You know, I met Juan Carlos for the first time in one of our camping trips. That's where I met him. His wife had been coming to church. No, that was the second time I met him. His wife had been coming to church for maybe 3-4 months, and it turned out that we were having this camping trip and summer trip, and he came to that. After that, he started connecting to our church. And then, you know, as he had come to the church maybe for about 2 months or so, I said, I'm trying to connect him to a small group. And he says, well, why don't you come to my house instead? Well, I didn't want to open another group. I was really leading two groups as it was. But then I said, okay, we'll do that. So then I had to decide, what kind of group is this going to be? Is this going to be a Bible study group? Is this going to be just a regular connect group with spiritual discussions? What do we do in this group? So look at how the evolution of this group. So it just started as a visit per se. But I was a bit intentional. I had enough conversation with him to know where he was from. He was from Veracruz, Mexico. So the first time that I visited, I invited Raul and his wife, which I know they're from Veracruz, Mexico as well. So I was trying to connect him with other folks within the church. So that was just going to be like a connect group for maybe a couple of months. So that was the idea that I had. So I said, it's going to be my wife, myself, I'll bring Raul and his wife, and maybe I'll invite another family eventually. So as we started just connecting with that family, what were we doing? We were having dinner together. We were getting to know each other. And she was kind of pushing the Bible study group type of environment. So I kind of pushed back on that because I wanted just to have a relaxed environment where we just had spiritual discussions. So that only happened for about 4 weeks. So, but then I noticed that other people started coming. So then that group kind of, it was an open group, meaning that anyone can come in. So the spiritual discussion started going a bit deeper and a bit deeper. So it ended up being a hybrid type of a group. But that wasn't intentional at the beginning. So you have to really be flexible with the group that you're going to have. But the key is community, relationship, discussions, deeper relationships.
Yeah, let's talk about those relationships for a moment, because the Faith Avenue is not just the connect groups, but it is also cross-generational care. The olders and the youngers coming together in the life of the church. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like in your congregation? Because I know that you have the younger ones, the children, the teenagers, the young adults, but you have some olders as well. How do they come together to produce better health in the life of the congregation?
Ah, man, that's really the challenges, you know, with different generations, and we are a multi-generational church. And sometimes as a pastor or even the Faith Avenue champions, you know, we say, well, connect groups is about making disciples, right? Are adults the only ones that need to be discipled? Yeah. Well, the answer is no.
Right.
No, everyone's in the church needs to be discipled. So, like for our children, on Sunday morning they may have, you know, a good environment where maybe a good space for disciple making for kids is happening. we go the extra mile a little bit. So for years, many years, we've run like different types of clubs. It's just an environment where kids can come and they can have fun, and it's something for them. So like we run that on Friday mornings, on Friday evenings. So what I try to do on Friday evenings, I try to really attend to all the generations. So the youth could have a Bible study. Now that's a Bible study.
Yeah.
So it's going to be teaching them, you know, something the scripturally based. The kids are going to have their club, which they have games, and they do have their 20 minutes, 30 minutes of something that is Bible focused. And then it gives me a good opportunity as well to take some of the adults and hold them back and do like a Bible study with them. So that's more Bible study more than anything else. But again, that's still not enough, you know, like the youth. I mean, the youth, they need to have other spaces. So we have something that we call Connect Sundays for the youth. And this happens like once a month, sometimes once every 2 months. So on a Sunday after church, guess what? All the youth, about 15 to 22 kids, are going to come to my house. You know, it's just going to be a fun afternoon. They're going to have pizza. They're going to play games together. There's a small park right in front of my home. They'll go do a little bit of basketball. That relationship element is key. I'm taking too much of your time here, but let me just point something cool that happened to me this past Sunday. So with COVID and everything, you know, right now we're not having inside church. We're having church in our parking lot, and it's a pain. So we have not even half of our church is coming out. Only about 50 people or so, 55 people are coming to church, and we're having it in the parking lot. So we're not separating kids. We usually have about 25 kids in our Sunday morning service, which we probably have about 5 kids that come right now. But there is this one family that their teenagers are also coming to the service. And Luis, one of the teenagers, they're used to being in their own class per se. And he comes to me after the service and he says, "Pastor, I really liked your sermon. I really like what you talked about." And that kind of struck me. So I went a little bit deeper with him because they do their Bible study in English. And I was just preaching in Spanish, right? So, and I said, what percentage of what I was speaking did you understand? And then he starts speaking back to me in Spanish. So that really encouraged me that that the challenges that we have with our generations, and this is what I'm trying to get to, that as a Spanish-speaking church, because that's what we are, we have these challenges where our kids, you know, we do most of our children's ministry in English and our youth ministry is in English, and we try to go back and forth. It is just hard. It's not easy. But the Spirit, man, He is leading all the time, and He's really, really teaching us, you know, how to interact with the different generations.
Mm. That's good, brother. Yeah. Man, that'll bring joy to any pastor's heart, right? When a young person comes up to you and has that sort of conversation. And let me wrap up with this. You've given us a lot of your time, which I really appreciate, brother. But let's think about the overall faith avenue. If I'm a pastor of a church and I haven't yet launched the faith avenue, and I'm searching for the person that would be a good candidate to be the Faith Avenue champion, to build out the Faith Avenue team. What kind of advice would you give? What would you look for in a Faith Avenue champion? And I know you've talked earlier, I'll say this as a kind of an add-on to the question, the need for alignment and clarity of the role of this person. Can you speak to both of those issues, please?
Anthony, you're a pastor, man. I'm a pastor, and a lot of times we wanna fill the spaces that are available. Oh, so I need a Faith Avenue champion. Here's someone who wants to do it, that can do it. So okay, you're gonna lead the Faith Avenue champion. That's when, as pastors, we make mistakes. We really need to take a step back, and we need to recruit, and we need to develop. Before we launch anyone into any ministry, you know, let's develop. So if I'm a pastor that I don't have a Faith Avenue, champion, and I'm looking to start my connect groups or to get it going in the Faith Avenue, the first thing that I would do is this. I would start praying, I would start recruiting, and whoever I think that the Lord is leading me to, I would take like an inventory of gifts, okay? Is this people a people person? I mean, because I wouldn't want someone leading something that they haven't experienced before, okay? So I would invite this person to join me in a small group, you know, and kind of take them through the apprentice square to have them experience what a small group is before being a champion of something that they've never experienced, or at least, you know, develop them into becoming a facilitator of a small group. And we may have to do this together for a while. This may take time, but I'm not going to call someone and say, hey, I want you to be the champion of this if you've never experienced this. To me, that doesn't make any sense. You see what I'm saying with that?
I do. That's really good. You can't give what you don't have or what you haven't experienced. And that makes a lot of sense. But what I'm also hearing you say, it takes time, and it would be better to get it right than to get it fast. Is that fair?
That's more than fair, yeah. The fast, you know, is what we want usually as pastors, but get it right. So, and that's why, so we're talking about a Faith Avenue champion. So let's say I have four or five leaders in my church. Okay, you're going to lead the Hope Venue, you're going to lead the Faith Avenue, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. But have you experienced that? See, that's what I'm saying. So I would encourage a pastor that doesn't have connect groups, that desiring to have connect groups, you first need to lead your own connect group. You first need to recruit someone in, develop them as a facilitator. And once you develop them as a facilitator, then they can become a Faith Avenue champion. Because how can you ask a Faith Avenue champion to develop other facilitators when they've never experienced it themselves?
Yeah, that's a challenge for us. I mean, I feel that challenge myself as a pastor, so I appreciate you being direct, but what you said makes perfect sense. And I have a feeling, Heber, that this conversation you and I are having will spark additional conversations in the local church. And really, that's what we want. We want people having these kinds of conversations, but also moving outside or beyond the conversation to actually doing something in the Faith Avenue that brings about new and vibrant expression of Jesus's life in the church. So, brother, thank you for your time. I feel like we could talk for several hours, and I know you can. You've got stories because it's happening. I mean, you're telling fresh stories of what's happening in the life of your church. And I say kudos to you, brother. But I'm not going to let you out of here easily, because one of the things we like to do at the end of the GC podcast is for me to ask 7 rapid-fire questions. And I love doing this because I don't have to do the answering. So are you game, Heber Tikus? Are you willing?
I'm game only if I can do the same thing back to you. How's that?
Yeah, that's not how this works, but hey.
I'm good, bro. Let's go for it.
All right, let's do it. Favorite Latin food dish?
Pupusas. Do you know what that is?
I don't. Tell me.
Oh, dude, you're missing out, homie. Pupusas. It's a Salvadorian dish. It's really, if you can picture a quesadilla, a Mexican quesadilla, 2 tortillas, but it's not a quesadilla, and don't mention that in front of my wife. It could have beans in it. It can have different things in it. So, and it's with the sauce. I can't even explain it. You just got to taste it.
Man, I skipped lunch today. You're making me hungry. All right, question number 2. Which is the better baseball team, the Los Angeles Dodgers or the Atlanta Braves, and why are you wrong on this topic?
The Los Angeles Dodgers is the better team, and I'm not wrong because we are the champions, brother.
I set you up. I know they're the champs, and so you would be able to say that, but we have some good give and take on the baseball teams.
Remember you sent me that text and you said, hey, no, I still believe in the Dodgers. You probably believed more than I did. And
that's true. Question number 3, a pet peeve.
pet peeve of mine. Ooh, you know what? Let me take it into a ministry direction. One of my pet peeves in ministry is that I ask you to do something as a pastor, and I've made it clear of what needs to be done, and you've committed to it, and yet you didn't do it.
Mm. Ooh, listen up, church. There's some challenge. I get it. And having to circle back to that, I'm with you, brother. Here's a good one. When you dance, describe to us what it looks like.
What did you say, when I dance?
Yes, when you dance. Can you describe what that looks like?
Dude, I don't dance, man.
What?
And if I did, people would probably be pulling their hair out or something like that.
Oh man.
Dude, I'm being honest here, dude. I was Christian God Seventh Day growing up. Dude, dancing was a sin, man.
Hey, you're free in Christ. Maybe it's time you learn. What is one food you should probably give up, but you like it too much?
In-N-Out burgers, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up In-N-Out.
One thing people won't know about you that they should.
Ooh, one thing people would not know about me that they should. Huh. Boy, I'm such an open book. Well, they know how handsome I am, so I'm
unfortunately, this isn't being captured on video, so we don't have proof of that for our audience, so we'll just go with that. And finally, one wish or prayer that you have for the Church of Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. One wish or a prayer that I would have for the church. Man, I would just pray that the church can be the church, man. Can we express being the church like Christ expressed being who he was? Because he's in us. I come across so many people that say, man, and you're a Christian, or Christians do this and Christians do that. So church, can we just be the church?
Mm. Amen, brother. That's a good place to end. But we do have one final item to tend to. And we like to end this podcast with prayer. And I know you consistently pray for our pastors and ministry leaders, but I'm sure they would love to hear that. So would you end with praying over our pastors, our Faith Avenue, our ministry leaders as we close today?
That'll be a joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, nuestro Padre Celestial, our Daddy, the one who's always for us, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit. And I am so thankful, Lord, for the many opportunities that you've given me in ministry. I'm thankful for my brother Anthony, thankful for this conversation that we've had here this morning, Lord. Father, I thank you for GCI as a whole. I thank you for all our pastors, our ministry leaders, for our journey, Lord, for where we've been as a church and where we are now, Lord. And as we have these conversations, Lord, about ministry, about faith groups, the three different avenues of a healthy ministry, of a healthy church, Lord, Father, we know that you've called us to participate with you, but Jesus, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us. We need your Holy Spirit to lead us. So Father, Lord, I just want to pray a blessing on all our pastors and all our ministry leaders. I pray that they could see with clarity that you are at work in their lives, that you are at work in their ministries, even though, Father God, that they may think, that they may, that the enemy is pointing to them that maybe their ministry is not good enough, or maybe they're not good enough. Lord, may we consistently come back to our understanding that we do ministry together with you. So I lift up our ministry leaders, Lord. I lift up the Faith Avenue champions, Lord. I pray that our conversation here today is helpful to them, Lord, that it will spark other conversations as well. So Father God, we know that we belong to you, that you're for us, Lord. And we are so thankful. And this Advent season, Father God, we just thank you for Christ in us and Christ for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Well, Joe, as usual, Heber packed a punch in the time we had together. What was your most significant takeaway, or the points from your perspective that mattered the most?
Eber said, and I believe this is directly quoted, I think I got it right. Eber said, Sunday is not sufficient space for forging deep relationship and needs to go beyond the service and gathering. You know, Sunday morning, if we really think about it, we are talking at people. Our connect groups, we are able to talk with people. That's when we can have, as Pastor Eber said, deeper conversation, deeper exploration of faith, and deeper relationship of journeying in faith.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to have it. And I know a lot of churches, and Heber touched on this, do Bible studies, and studying scripture together is really important. But we've got to have that space where people can grow together. I mean, if we're brothers and sisters in Christ, God is our Father, there is just this powerful relational aspect. And my faith grows, Joe. Like when you share what God is up to in your life, my faith grows and I need to hear it. And those spaces like a connect group, that's where it can really happen. Well, Joe, we often end the show by shining the light on resources to aid pastors and church leaders in the mission and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps one of the most important resources we have as a denomination is Grace Communion Seminary. So tell our good friends in the listening audience where they can get information if they desire to take a class or even to audit a class. Where would they go?
Well, you can go to gcs.edu, and they actually just redid their whole website, and it looks amazing.
Amazing.
Man, it looks amazing. Yeah, and that, I'll tell you what, there is with GCS, there is quality information at a very reasonable price. You're not going to find a seminary that is less expensive than GCS, but yet it still has the quality information. Even if you don't want to become a theologian, there are some classes that share practical ministry. I highly encourage you to go check it out, gcs.edu.
Yeah, thanks for that recommendation. I just finished up a course in hermeneutics, and you know, it's so practical because as a pastor and a preacher, it helped me in my sermon prep. And I love learning. I think leaders should always be lifelong learners. But I also have to say, I'm so glad I got about 3 weeks off before the next semester. Sometimes it's great. The education is great, but sometimes it's good to take a deep breath and go, let's take some time off, and then we'll gear back up again. Well, friends, we really appreciate you listening to the GC Podcast. If you like what you heard, give us a rating wherever you listen to this podcast. It really does help us get the word out and for others to join the conversation. So until next time, Joe, have a great month and keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.